you. Yeah.
Appreciate you doing it. Oh, you're welcome. Cell, come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Friday, February 28th. Anderson, District 2.
Here.
Anderson, District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case. Christensen. Coe. Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Amrick.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert,
here.
Hicks,
here.
Hines, Johnson,
here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Nutting,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Slatern,
here.
President Ross,
here.
Christensen.
Anybody know? Excused.
29 present, 1 excused.
Prayer by Pastor Whitmore.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, here we come to the end of the week, and I pray for, I first want to just pray for travel mercies for those that will be traveling back to their homes and the time that they'll get to spend with their family. God, I pray for a refreshing weekend and a time to kind of unwind and let go so that they can come back for another week here on the Senate floor. I pray, God, that today that they could stay focused and not look too forward to getting away, but to accomplish the task that they have in front of them and to be diligent and, God, again, to know that you have directed them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 26th, 2014, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator James Lee Anderson, chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. The doctor of the day is Dr. Joe McGinley from Casper. There is no nurse of the day. Today in Wyoming history, 1918 in Buffalo, Wyoming, the first train arrived over the Wyoming Railroad. Thought for the day. When somebody tells you nothing is impossible, ask him to dribble a football. We have some concurrences.
Now this is the reading of the top part.
Senator Hines, are you ready on message number 189 in reference to Senate File 43?
I am, Mr. President. All I have to do is find it.
The reading clerk will read the message.
Okay. From the House of Representatives, message number 189, Senate File 43, Prioritization of Municipal Solid Waste Facility Projects.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, I move that we do concur on message 189 of Senate File 43. What the House did, they just added one amendment, which inserted the words and other funds appropriated to the solid waste cease and transfer account would be available to be spent. And since we worked on this, then the budget have an additional appropriation that the governor recommended to go in this account. And what this will do will just, if the communities are ready, will just allow more towns to be able to access this money and move on with their transfer or the closure. So I ask you to vote aye.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none. The motion is that the Senate do concur on message number 189 in reference to Senate File 43, prioritization of municipal solid waste facility projects, and you've been asked to vote aye. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen excused. Coe?
Aye.
Cooper? Kraft,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 1 no, and 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on amendments to Senate File 43. Senator Von Flatern, are you ready on message number 197 in reference to Senate File 61?
Yes, Mr. President, I am.
And ask the reading clerk to read the message in, please.
From the House of Representatives, message 197, concurrence requested, Senate File 61, Veterans Resident Tuition Provisions.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move concurrence on message 197 to Senate File 61, Veterans Resident Tuition Provisions. And this is the bill, senators, that we passed that explained or allowed veterans to receive resident tuition at the university. What they did over there in the House was just, you'll see the one was deleted, so they really just made the effective date immediately. And the reason for that was there was possibly some summer school, that there was a half a dozen people that could qualify under this provision for their summer school tuition. So they made it effective immediately. They put one more change at the bottom, which was dealing with changing the home record to Wyoming. They realized that wouldn't work. So on the page 2 of your list of amendments, line 21, they deleted that. So really all they did was change the enactment date, so it's effective immediately. And with that, I ask for an aye vote.
Any discussion? Hearing none. The motion is that the Senate do concur on message number 197, concurrence request in reference to Senate File 61, Veterans Resident Tuition Provisions, and you've been asked to vote aye. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen excused. Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss? Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 27 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 61. We have a signing of enrolled acts. Enrolled Act number, Senate Enrolled Act number 9, the original Senate File 16. The reading clerk will read the Senate file.
Senate Enrolled Act number 9, being original Senate File 16, an act relating to insurance.
Thank you. I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 9, being original Senate File 16. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 10 being original Senate File 38. The reading clerk will read it.
Senate Enrolled Act number 10 being original Senate File 38, an act relating to hunting.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 10 being original Senate File 38. I have so signed. Enrolled Act, Senate Enrolled Act number 11 being original Senate File 46.
Senate Enrolled Act number 11 being original Senate File 46, an act relating to state parks.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 11 being original Senate File 46. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 12, in original Senate File 51.
Senate Enrolled Act number 12, being original Senate File 51, an act relating to workers' compensation.
About to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 12, being original Senate File 51. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 13 being original Senate File 60.
Senate Enrolled Act number 13 being original Senate File 60, an act relating to the titling of vehicles.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 13 being original Senate File 60. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 14 being original Senate File 71.
Senate Enrolled Act number 14 being original Senate File 71, an act relating to administration of government.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 14 being original Senate File 71. I have so signed. House Enrolled Acts. House Enrolled Act number 1 being original House Bill 2.
House Enrolled Act number 1 being original House Bill 2, an act relating to school districts.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 1 being original House Bill 2. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 2 being original House Bill 4.
House Enrolled Act Number 2 being Original House Bill Number 4, an act relating to Pest Control Compact.
About to sign House Enrolled Act Number 2 being Original House Bill 4. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act Number 3 being Original House Bill 40.
House Enrolled Act Number 3 being Original House Bill 40, an act relating to administration of government.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 3 being Original House Bill 40. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act Number 4 being Original House Bill 83.
House Enrolled Act Number 4 being Original House Bill 83, an act relating to health insurance.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 4 being Original House Bill 83. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act Number 5 being Original House Bill 3.
House Enrolled Act Number 5 being Original House Bill 3, an act relating to school finance.
About to sign House Enrolled Act Number 5 being Original House Bill 3. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act Number 6 being Original House Bill 7.
House Enrolled Act Number 6 being Original House Bill 7, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
About to sign House Enrolled Act Number 6 being Original House Bill 7. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act Number 7 being Original House Bill 8.
House Enrolled Act Number 7 being Original House Bill 8, an act relating to district courts.
About to sign House Enrolled Act Number 7 being Original House Bill 8. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act Number 8 being Original House Bill 9.
House Enrolled Act Number 8 being Original House Bill 9, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
About to sign House Enrolled Act Number 8 being Original House Bill 9. I have so signed. Reports from standing committees.
February the 28th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 102 engrossed, Sage-Grouse Implementation Team, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Dockstader, Hester, Meyer, and Perkins, Senator Bebout, Chairman. February the 27th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 72, engrossed, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, and Johnson, Senator Geis, Chairman.
Bills on second reading. House Bill 5, second reading of the House Bill.
Education Required School Bus Video Equipment 2.
House Bill 5, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 13, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 13, UCC Liens Electronic Filing.
House Bill 13 haven't been read. Senator Hines?
Mr. President, there was a question on this bill yesterday that I said I'd get an answer for, and it was this is the effective financing statement, and I checked with the Secretary of State, and the question was about amending it, and if the bill is amended, then it has to, you have to amend it at the Secretary of State's office, and it goes through the same process as the original. You have to have the authorized signature from the secured party.
Okay. Any discussion? House Bill 13 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 14, second reading of the House Bill.
Business Entities Revisions.
House Bill 14 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 15, second reading of the House Bill.
Business Entities Enforcement and Penalties.
We have an amendment. The reading clerk will read in second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 15.
House Bill 15, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 6 through 12.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I read, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 15, ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, this doesn't change any of the intent of the paragraph. It just makes it clearer and easier to read. I learned a new term. When you break out things in a paragraph into Romanettes, it's called candling. And the tall senator from Natrona County, when I asked him about candling, it was had to do with eggs, Mr. President, which is true, but in the vernacular of our LSO office, it's called candling. So I think it makes it clearer and easier to read. Essentially, there's no change in the content. It's just an easier format for lay people to look at the statutes and understand what they are.
Any discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I don't think it changed the substance as near as I can figure it. I don't think it's necessary, but I don't think it does change the substance.
Any further discussion? Question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 15 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Amendment has passed. House Bill 15, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 18, second reading of the House Bill.
Coroner Standard Enforcement.
House Bill 18 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 19. Oh, excuse me. Senator Geis.
Can I have the privilege of the floor?
Let me finish. House Bill 18 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senator Geis.
Well, this is my pleasure. Up in the balcony up behind us, Mrs. Smith's second grade class, St. Mary's Catholic Church. There's a group of young students up there that are going to be legislators one of these days. And I'd like to have you give them a warm welcome. There's one special little gal up there by the name of Sage.
Welcome to the Senate. Hope you enjoy your day. House Bill 19, second reading of the House Bill.
Notary fees.
House Bill 19 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 36, second reading of the House Bill.
Constituent service allowance.
House Bill 36 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 37, second reading of the House Bill.
Revisers Bill.
House Bill 37, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 38, second reading of the House Bill.
Taxidermy licenses.
House Bill 38, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 47, second reading of the House Bill.
Government royalty revenues definition.
House Bill 47, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 53, second reading of the House Bill.
Wyoming lottery definition.
House Bill 53, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. House Bill 54.
Mr. President, I move that House Bill 54, a lottery bill, be laid back till Monday.
Without objection, House Bill 54 will be laid back for a day to be heard on Monday. House Bill 62, second reading of the House Bill.
General procedures for licensure boards.
House Bill 62, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 69, second reading of the House Bill.
Fuel tax, natural gas.
House Bill 69, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 86, second reading of the House Bill.
Rural Health Care Districts Authority.
House Bill 86, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 95, second reading of the House Bill.
Diabetes Care Planning.
House Bill 95, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that House Bill 104 be laid back additional day till Monday.
Without objection, House Bill 104 will be laid back for a day to be heard on second reading on Monday. House Bill 123, second reading of the House Bill.
Unified Administrative Code and Database.
House Bill 123 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 145, second reading of the House Bill.
Streamline sales tax amendments.
House Bill 145 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 175, second reading of the House Bill.
Transfer on death deed.
House Bill 175, having been read two separate times. The question is, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I was looking for 178. I move the House Bill 178, which is the next one, be laid back.
Okay. I'll get to that. House Bill 175, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection. House Bill 178 is requested to be laid back for one day, and so it'll be heard on second reading on Monday. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
I do. Thank you, Mr. President. I move the following third reading consent list. House Bill 11, Controlled Substances. House Bill 20, Fire Prevention, Electrical Safety Fees. House Bill 22, Mineral Tax Audit Interest Rate. House Bill 24, Registration Fees, House Trailers. House Bill 25, Funeral Service Practitioners Act. House Bill 32, Snowmobile Permit and Registration Fees. House Bill 33, Jury Pool Selection, Archaic Language. House Bill 34, Solid Waste Cease and Transfer Eligibility. House Bill 43, Children in Need of Supervision Age. House Bill 71, Leasing of Equipment. House Bill 91, Real Estate Loans Limitations. House Bill 96, Professional Assistance Programs. House Bill 47, Infrastructure Authority Energy Transmission.
147.
Thank you. House Bill 147, Infrastructure Authority Energy Transmission. And finally, House Joint Resolution Number 1, Support of Taiwan.
Would any of the senators like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Senator Barnard. House Bill 22 is removed from the consent list. Any other senators want any other bills removed from the consent list? Hearing none. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 11, House Bill 20, House Bill 24, House Bill 25, House Bill 32, House Bill 33, House Bill 34, House Bill 43, House Bill 71, House Bill 91, House Bill 96, House Bill 147, and House Joint Resolution 1. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen excused. Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel. Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 11, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 11, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. House Bill 20, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 20, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 24, are there any changes? Schiffer, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Hicks, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 24, 20 ayes, 9 noes, 1 excused. House Bill 25, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 25, 28 ayes, 1 no, and 1 excused. House Bill 32, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Hicks, aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 32, 25 ayes, 4 noes, and 1 excused. House Bill 33, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 33, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 34, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 34, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 43, are there any changes? Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 43, 28 ayes, 1 no, and 1 excused. House Bill 71, are there any changes? Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 71, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 91, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 91, 28 ayes, 1 no, and 1 excused. House Bill 96, are there any changes? Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 96, 29 ayes, and 1 excused. House Bill 147, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Christensen? Christensen, aye.
I was in another meeting, and so I missed that, but aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 147, 28 ayes, 2 noes. House Joint Resolution 1. Rothfuss, aye to no. Christensen?
Christensen.
Christensen, aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. House Joint Resolution 1. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, the following House bills have passed the Senate. House Bill 11, Controlled Substances. House Bill 20, Fire Prevention and Electrical Safety Fees. House Bill 24, Registration Fees, House Trailers. House Bill 25, Funeral Service Practitioners Act. House Bill 32, Snowmobile Permit and Registration Fees. House Bill 33, Jury Pool Selection, Archaic Language. House Bill 34, Solid Waste Cease and Transfer Eligibility. House Bill 43, Children in Need of Supervision, Age. House Bill 71, Leasing of Equipment. House Bill 91, Real Estate Loans Limitations. House Bill 96, Professional Assistant Programs. House Bill 147, Infrastructure Authority, Energy Transmission, and House Joint Resolution 1, Support of Taiwan, have passed the Senate. House Bill 22, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 22, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, Mineral Tax Audit Interest Rate, and Act relating to revenue and taxation, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Barnard?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move amendment number 1 to House Bill 22. As I've talked to
wait.
My treasurer and
excuse me.
About this amendment.
Stop. I don't have an amendment.
I'm sorry, Mr. President.
There are no amendments that I am aware of. We can lay the bill back for one day, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I move that we lay this bill back for one day.
Without objection, House Bill 22 will be laid back for third reading on Monday. Okay. Now that we cleared that up. Oh, gosh. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file.
Pardon me?
We're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file.
We were just having a very high-level discussion that you don't move to have it set back. You requested it be laid back. Otherwise, we would have had a vote on it. Yeah, we don't want to have a vote. But as it turned out, Mr. President, you interpreted what I meant. We're on the same vibes. We're doing perfect. Now, I do. Isn't that scary? It's like, well, it's small minds think alike. With that, I'd move that we. I move that the Senate go into community.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Collapse.
Senator Dockstader. Motion passed.
Committee of the Whole will come to order. First bill up for our consideration, House Joint Resolution 5. Reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution 5, sponsored by Representative B. Nicholas, Moose Wilson Roadway, a joint resolution to the United States Secretary of the Interior, the Director of the National Park Service, and the Superintendent of Grand Teton National Park, relating to maintenance of the Moose Wilson Road. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways and Military Affairs. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Escobel, Landon, Schiffer, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Joint Resolution 5. And to explain this bill, I'll call upon or ask you to call upon the good senator from Alta.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, House Resolution 5 is essentially a recommendation or a request for consideration from this body to the Director of the National Park Service, the Secretary of Interior, and the Superintendent of Teton National Park. The first three pages really just talk about some history and what's been going on up there, why we have a need for it, our appreciation for both two-way traffic, for access to the park, pathway systems, and so forth. The body of this motion gets down to the bottom of page 3. The body of this bill is about the resolution and the consideration that your legislature is asking for those folks. In Section 1, the legislature of the state of Wyoming supports continued two-way vehicle access along the Moose Wilson Road for the continued historic access on those national park lands. If you have not been on that little piece of road, it's essentially between Teton Village and Moose, and it goes up the west side of the Snake River at the foothills, along the foot of the mountains. It's where the J.Y. Ranch was that is Rockefellers have since turned over to the ranch. It's quite a beautiful little piece, and there's a lot of folks on there. It's a slow, meandering little road. You get to see a lot of wildlife. It's one of the best places to go watch the moose. It's certain times of the summer, it's one of the best places to go watch bear activity, much to the concern of the Park Service. So, but that's the piece. Over on Section 2, we encourage Grand Teton to work with the adjacent gateway communities and communicate cooperatively on key issues of public safety and public access. Section 3, we're asking that the park study a complete pathway design and designed and constructed in an environmentally sensitive way that keeps visitors and their children safe. We've had some tragic history in Teton Park with some people being killed. And so there has been a large effort, and it had to do with bicycles, and so there's been a large effort from the national side to construct some pathways on the interior roads. There is not one on this road yet. There is still bicycles and cars are dueling for space on that little gravel road. And that's part of this is the overall pathway system and to ask them to look carefully at that. Section 4, we're encouraging them to partner with private donors to construct the needed pathway and recreational infrastructure. There is a significant commitment of private donors in the community that have supported pathways, put a lot of private money into it, and this is one of the final links. And so folks are quite excited and feeling pretty generous about that. Over in 5, the bottom of page 4, we caution Grand Teton Park about creating a precedent with regard to grizzly bears being used as a trigger for the federal government's closure of public lands. Such a precedent would have major implications for hikers, horseback riders, hunters, sportsmen, bikers, birders, and overall public use throughout the West. This is a sensitive topic, and up in Yellowstone a couple of years ago, we had some folks killed by bears, by grizzlies. But there is a certain amount of risk that one takes on enjoying our outdoors, especially in the West, and that is one of the big draws in Wyoming, is we're not just a landscape, we have a population of wild creatures. So I gave you a handout, and there's an article in here from a local paper from our U.S. Senator Enzi, saying he's committed to help keep this open. And there's actually quite a bit of information in there on why we're here and why this resolution came over from the House side. On the maps, it gives you a sense of where, what we're talking about, the proposed Moose Wilson section of pathways and roads. And then on the corridor, one of the things they're working on with the corridor when they talk about being environmentally sensitive is, are we going to look at a separated pathway? Or are we going to work pathways right next to the existing roads and so forth? There's a fair amount of water. That's what attracts the moose in there. And there's a lot of berries. It's great huckleberry picking according to the bear population. And so there's some challenges in there. It's probably one of the most loved sections of road, both for our residents, but also for our visitors. I'd stand for questions.
Further discussion? Question on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Ron Flatiron's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with favorable recommendation of House Joint Resolution 5, all those say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. House Joint Resolution 5 is passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration, House Bill 12.
House Bill number 12, sponsored by Representative Lubnow, 80 miles per hour speed limit, an act relating to speed limits. It was referred to Committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, Military Affairs, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Landon, Von Flatiron. No, Senators Escobel and Schiffer. Senator Von Flatiron, Chairman.
Chairman Von Flatiron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a positive recommendation of House Bill 12 and to present the bill. I will do it.
Chairman Von Flatiron.
Senators, page 1, the introduction to this bill really sums it up. This is a raising the speed limit should the engineering reports and should the director of the Department of Transportation decide that that stretch of road could handle a faster speed limit than 75 miles an hour. So this just gives him the option. You'll notice on the introduction, the title, it says, an act relating to speed limits, establishing a maximum speed limit declarable by state authorities, modifying clearing the state superintendent's ability to designate a higher speed limit. So this bill goes through, and in page 2, it changes some language on lines 11 through 15, affect the authority of the superintendent to otherwise designate lower or higher maximum speed limits on interstate highways in accordance with other laws. On the next paragraph on section D on 17 through 24, it talks about the speeding violations up to 80 miles an hour, but not more than 75 miles per hour or less than 6 miles per hour. This is for what goes on your record. And so we had to interject the new language of but not more than 75 miles per hour, because presently what is reported and goes on your record versus you getting a speeding ticket, there is a little bit of wiggle room there of 6 miles per hour. So I have a handout that is on your desk. Looks like this. It shows what's happened in Texas since before June of 2003 through May 31st of 2006, when the speed limits were posted no more than 75, and then after they raised them 2006 through 2009, you'll actually see fatalities and crashes went down, which is not intuitive. You would think they'd go the other way, but apparently the flow of the traffic begins to match what people are actually driving, and therefore it causes less accidents. There's another handout attached to it, which is a map of Utah. This shows you where Utah has gone with their 80 miles an hour. It shows you a darker red that says existing 80 miles an hour. They've run that the last couple 5 years. And then their new proposed 80 mile per hour speed limits. They've had such good luck moving traffic and having traffic flow better on the existing, the red colored areas, that they're now proposing to move all the rest, which would be out across the Salt Lake, across Salt Flats, and down most of I-15. Thank you. I-15 from the south of Salt Lake will all be changed to 80-mile-an-hour speed limits. There is a letter also attached to that, which is Wyoming Department of Transportation. Once again, it's through their engineering studies. It's not going to be just, you know, let's change all interstates to 80. It'll be after they do a study, change the speed limit signs, and then you'll be able to drive 80. And, of course, the old penalty for driving too fast conditions still exists. So, once again, we can't legislate logic, and so you'll have to decide that yourself, how fast you're going. But they do a study of Texas. They mentioned Texas and Utah in here. There's 41.25 miles of 85-mile-an-hour road in Texas, toll roads. There's 575 miles of 80-mile-per-hour road in Texas. And in that line that's highlighted, it says, no significant crash picture has been documented due to the speed limit increase on I-10 or I-20. And then in Utah, at the bottom, they talk about the studies engineer for Utah's Department of Transportation, and noting that there will be significant expansion of the 80-mile-per-hour interstate speed limits in the future. And that's according to that map we just showed you. And he noted that the speeds increased after the speed limit change, but they only saw a 1 or 2-mile-per-hour increase in the 85th percentile speed. So how they do their measurements of the road and to make sure that their speed signs are matching what the actual traffic is flowing, they do it at 85% or better. So they say if we have a 75-mile-an-hour speed limit and they go out and survey all the cars going by any one point in that speed limit, and in the 85th percentile, they're doing at or above that speed limit, but within a certain, so if 90 percentile are doing 82, they know they've got too slow of the speed limit. In Utah, they only noted in the 85th percentile that it only increased the speed by 1 or 2 miles per hour, even though they increased the speed to 80 from 75. In other words, it did not affect the rate they were driving. So previously, they were probably driving, yes, they were probably driving fast the moment before the speed limit was changed. Afterwards, they just made it sort of legal for what they were driving, which is kind of what this bill does for certain drivers in this body, I'm sure. But anyway, this is what it does. It is only after the director at YDOT has the engineering department and or a contracted engineering outfit go out, survey a piece of land, a road, say that it meets all the criteria for increasing the speed and it can handle the additional speed, and then they may or may not post an 80 mile an hour speed limit on a 75. And with that, I'll stand for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion. Chairman Bebaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question is, as I understand the current law, if you're on an interstate and you're going 79 miles an hour and you're pulled over, but you have your seatbelt on, that it's a wash and is not reported on your insurance claims. And the same thing if you're in 65, you're going 69. The question, Mr. Chairman, if you're going the additional speed limit with the same laws apply, 80 meaning if you're going 84, that if you have your seatbelt on, there would be no net effect.
Senator Von Flatern.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that's exactly what it would be. If you are going 84 and an 80, you pay the speed ticket, but it does not show up on your license or reported to your insurance. That's a six mile per hour grace period or grace area that we have before it's reported.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if there was any discussion in the committee over those two-lane roads in addition to interstates. The way I read this bill, this only affects interstates. If there's any discussion about moving those from 65 to 70, because there's a certain number of roads in the state that can certainly handle it. And I'm particularly worried about the good senator from Cody. There's a stretch east of Cody that is awfully straight and awfully tempting.
Senator Von Flatern, no further discussion before the Senator Bebaum.
Chairman, I just want to be sure. I thought you said that if you are, in fact, going 4 miles over in any of the scenarios, that you would pay the fine. I thought if you had your seatbelt on, you were given credit, so you would not pay the fine.
Senator Von Flatern?
Just to clarify that, yes, if the fine is more than the seatbelt credit, which I think is only $10 or $5 off, if the fine is more than that, you will pay that, and you'll get a credit on the other end of it, but you'll be paying a fine.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, from personal experience, I think that's true.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not really speaking against the bill. I do have an interest in the question regarding two lanes. I had the occasion to spend a part of the winter in Texas this winter. And believe me, I wasn't very comfortable on two lanes running 75 miles an hour with 18-wheelers. But I'd be interested in the question regarding two lanes.
Senator Von Flatern.
And I can tell you that the House did try an attempt to put an amendment on this that added the 5 or 10 miles an hour on two lanes, and it was defeated. So unless one of you would like to bring an amendment to do that, we'll see how it flies, or how fast it goes. Anyway, they did try that, and it was defeated over there.
Further discussion on the bill? Further discussion? Question?
Question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Ron Flatern's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 12. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
House Bill 12 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration, House Bill 48. Reading clerk, read the bill.
House Bill number 48, sponsored by Representative Baker, Fishing with Artificial Light, an act relating to fishing, was referred to Committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, Christian, Kraft, and Driscoll, Senator Burns, Chairman.
Further the reading of the bill. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 48. There are no standing committee amendments, and for a further just remarkable explanation of this bill, I ask that you call on the good senator from Bags.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, bring you House Bill 48 here, members. All this does is expand opportunities to fish. We have a couple of fisheries in the state of Wyoming where it's now become desirable to fish at nighttime with artificial light, and currently the current statutes prohibits that. So this just inserts a new section G under that section, and it just gives the the Game and Fish Department the authority to designate, or the commission shall establish by rule or regulations where you can fish with artificial light at night. Stand for the question.
Further questions? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, my question is what kind of fishing, what kind of fish are we after with this? Because I thought in some areas it wasn't considered very sporting to fish after dark. So I'd like to know what we're talking about here.
Senator Hicks?
Mr. Chairman, primarily they're looking at one of the first ones that they would probably do this would be Flaming Gorge Reservoir, where they've had illegally stocked burbot, or whatever the common name is, and they're very difficult to catch at the daytime. So the first place this would probably come into play is to allow those folks to fish at night to target that specific species. Under rule and regulation, they may just say you can take burbot at night, but no other species. So, but it is designed to target certain species and certain recreational fisheries and expand that opportunity for people to take those species.
Further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 48 is passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration, House Bill 88.
House Bill number 88, sponsored by Representative Throne, post-dated checks, an act relating to the Uniform Consumer Credit Code. It was referred to Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Cooper, Escobel, Landon, Schiffer, Von Fladren, Senator Von Fladren, Chairman.
Chairman Von Fladren.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 88. And to explain this bill, once again, you'll have to listen to me. So, and I've been told from behind me to make this short, so I will make this short. House Bill 88 is called Post-Dated Checks. It is one of those bills where the consumers and the industry work together to produce a bill that allowed, that codifies what is called best practices of the industry. This does not deal with the interest rate that these check cashing companies do set. We're not dealing with that. What we're doing is saying we're giving the consumer a chance to change their mind. So if they post-date a check, give it to the check casher, the check cashing company, and they get the cash up front minus some fees, and they promise within 30 days they'll come back in and pay it off with the set known fee and interest rate and everything else. What this bill does, is allow them to come back within 24 hours and pay it off with no cost to them. Just pay it off and say, hey, I didn't mean that. I found some other money source. I'm done. Or they can come back into the once a year, basically, and come in and say, hey, I cannot pay this off in the next 30 days. What I'd like to do is make 4 payments over the year. So they've already established the interest rates and the penalty charges. Not penalties, but the charges and interest rate they would have paid anyway. The check casher, the payday loan company, then gives them a payment plan. And as long as they don't vary from the payment plan, they come in 3 months later and give them X amount, and 4 months later, 6 months later, whatever that payment plan up to a year is, there's no additional charges to the consumer. And that's where that protection steps in. So they also, in part of this bill, at the very end of it, they also talk about getting a signature, and I'll have an amendment read in a minute, Mr. Chairman. They also talk about getting a signature from the consumer saying, I understand all the fees and charges, and I agree to this. And the amendment will, as I'll discuss later, pertain to that point at which they do get that signature. So the bill itself goes to the right to rescind. That's bottom page 1. That's the part that talks about they get the 24 hours to come in and change their mind, pay off that post-dated check. And then part two on page two, line seven and on, goes into extended payment plan, how they can come in and say, I want to make payments because they cannot pay it off within this 30 days, and talks about no additional charges to them. Part three, further on this extended little C, extended payment plan terms, shall allow the consumer to repay the outstanding post-dated check or similar arrangements, including any fee due, in four substantially equal installments over a time period of at least 60 days. There is a caveat in here. I think it's on page four, where if they fail to pay according to the payment plan, then everything is due according to whatever. So within that 30 days, they have to pay the whole thing off as previously agreed. They also talk about the fact that within 12 months after they pay off one, they have a 12-month moratorium where they cannot call for that payment plan again. Now, the cash check cashier, post-dated check company, should know a little bit about their history and probably won't loan it money against the post-dated check again. But should they do that, they know within that 12 months of paying the last one off till 12 months goes by, they cannot ask for that payment plan. They need to live by the 30 days or less that they've done associated with the post-dated check that they handed to them. And so at this time, Mr. Chairman, I'd like the amendment read in if there's no questions on this, and then I'll move the amendment.
Chairman Ron Flatern, please move the amendment.
House Bill 88, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 15.
Mr. Chairman, I move Standing Committee Number 1 to House Bill 88 and ask for your aye vote. This goes into page 1, line 15, and before we change the big A to a little a, and then delete lines... page 2, line 5, delete in writing and then we go down to, so it now says on page 2, 4, and 5, a rescission under this section shall be at no cost to the consumer. And then we go to page 2 after line 5, if I get this crate, and we insert the little b now. Information regarding how to exercise the right to rescind shall be provided in writing to the consumer at the consummation of every post-dated check or similar arrangement. So this says that information regarding how to exercise the right to rescind shall be provided in writing to the consumer. The original bill would have had them signing off every time any information that was given to them, they would have had a sign. So they're saying they can have a signature on record and they can just come in here... which is page 4, line 17, by the way. I'm sorry, I missed that on the amendment. After consumer, you insert at least annually. So they just need to keep the signature annually, minimally annually, on record at the post-dating facility. They're at the post-dating company's headquarters. But they only have to show in writing what is involved with the post-dated check. In other words, this payment plan language is actually at the back of the bill. This has to be shown to the consumer every time, which starts on page 4, bottom, line 21, and goes on to page 5 through line 7. And that's what they have to show the consumer every time, but they do not have to have them sign it every time. They just need annually to at least get one signature and keep that on record. And with that, I ask for the call for the question on the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Question? Question being called. All those in favor, Senator Ron Flatern's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 88, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Back on the bill. Further discussion on the bill?
And, Mr. Chairman, all I would say is that I congratulate my cohort in the other side of the building who worked very hard with the industry from a bill that was presented last year that died very quickly and came up with this bill. So we're codifying what 23 other states do. So we're putting it into our statutes, what is the best practices of that industry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Question on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Von Flatern's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 88, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. House Bill 88 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration, House Bill 98.
House Bill number 98, sponsored by Representative Patton, State Investment Services, an act relating to state investments. It was referred to Committee number 9, Minerals Business Economic Development. which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, 02, Cole, Cooper, Hines, and Rothfuss, Senator Hines, Chairman.
Third reading of the bill, Senate Chairman Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it does so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 98. There are no standing committee amendments, and I'll yield to the floor manager, Senator Perkins.
Senator Perkins. Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, on House Bill 898, what we're trying to do here is work with the good representative that you see listed on the top there over there, who is now the chair of the Select Committee on Capital Finance, working with the Treasurer. The idea of this is, right now, it's every few years they go back, and Mr. Chairman, if you remember, what we have is we've got a high-powered investment advisor, investment consultant, that doesn't invest the funds but oversees the investment. And obviously, from the returns we've had over the years, it's worked very, very well. In this case, what you have is you see it, the statute requires this to be done every 3 years. And, of course, what that does, we have an election every 4 years for having a treasurer come in. And so what happens is you're in a situation where the treasurer, in some cases, doesn't or has to appoint one that will serve over to the next guy. And so, long story short, what we're trying to do in this is allow the treasurer, whether when she or she's elected, to be able to review and look at and to have this coincide with the treasurer's terms, as opposed to have it overlap and be all over the place. And so that's what this does, is just lets the treasurer be in charge of his office to make sure that his consultants are who he or she wants, and that it'll bring it in line so that we have that done, and they'll be able to work with the consultants they want. That's all that it does, and we're due for favorable consideration. We stand for questions.
Thank you, Senator Perkins. Further discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, with this bill, will the Treasurer have enough time after they take office to get their feet on the ground before they're faced with renewals of these advisors or not?
Senator Perkins?
Thank you. And I think that would be in the discretion of the Treasurer. The way I would imagine this happening is when it comes up, the Treasurer will do that. It'll probably take a few months. But long story short, if you think about it, if it was every 4 years and it was 6 months after you took office, the new treasurer would have 6 months or so to get their feet on the ground. Where it is now, that there's the potential that that's appointed in the last year of your office, and then you don't have any input until you've got 2 years left, and then the next year you'll have 3 years left, and then ultimately somebody's going to have a chance to only have 1 year with the consultant of their choice if we don't do something like this. So this would align it more with those terms, but I don't think that will be a problem. Visited with the treasurer's office, and the treasurer was in favor of this and didn't seem to think that was a problem, but that actually would be a benefit if we did this. Does that answer your question?
Chairman Bebaum.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just a little bit more discussion on, I know this doesn't preclude anyone from making a change if after 2 years we want to make a change in investment managers, and there's a lot of money out there. As you've looked over like the last 4 years, have we had any significant changes where we put somebody in and we pay them, we load it up front, we're not satisfied, then we turn around and terminate them after a year? Just a little more discussion about this. I don't think this really affects us because it says at least every 4 years. Just some discussion on typically how long have these people stayed in place and what kind of success have we had with a longer term with them.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And keep in mind, I believe that what we're talking about here is the investment consultant. So this isn't the person who actually invests the money. This is the person who oversees the investment. I believe the current one we've had now, it has been the investment advisor the entire time that I've been in the Senate. So that this is the eighth year. So that they've been successful at that. Going back to the question, yes, there has been several times when ultimately they monitor performance and with the help of the consultant, the people that actually monitor the people that actually invest the money, there's been a number of them have been terminated because of either they didn't follow instructions, they didn't invest in they violated the policy, their returns were inadequate. There's been a number of those that have been terminated, and some that funds and actually with the help of the consultant, when somebody does good, typically when they're doing well, they're typically look at maybe placing additional funds with those that perform well.
and they reduce those or fire those that don't. So, yes, there's been turnover. This is a situation where if you don't perform for the state, we're finding that those individuals are terminated and they don't get to invest the state's money anymore.
Further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Hines' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 98, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. House Bill 98 is passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration, House Bill 140.
House Bill number 140, sponsored by Representative Kirkbride, Complementary Hunting Licenses Persons with Disabilities, and Act Relating to Game and Fish. Here's referred to Committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, and Kraft. No, Senators Christensen and Driscoll. Senator Burns, Chairman.
Chairman Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 140, Complementary Hunting Licenses Persons with Disabilities. There is a standing committee amendment, and I ask that it be read in now.
Read in the amendment.
House Bill 14, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 1.
Chairman Burns, you officially move that?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Standing Committee Amendment, and for an explanation of the amendment and the bill, I would ask that you call on the Senator from Glenrock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Chairman, I hesitate to call any bill a simple bill, but we'll just refer perhaps this one to as a one-liner. Mr. Chairman, Game and Fish has within its regulations and statutes the ability of recruitment. Recruitment meaning that if individuals of special disabilities or other special conditions can get a license free of charge, so to speak, the Game and Fish then can make application to the state auditor to be recouped or to be reimbursed for those licenses. This particular bill, in its beginning, attempted to do a couple things, and given the amendment, we'll talk about that. If this bill were to pass, is unable to do only one thing. So if we'll take a minute, we'll just to see what the bill says is that amendments are made to Wyoming Statute 23-1504 and 23-1705. And those sections, 23-1504, has to do with a free and reduced price license revenue recruitment programs. And I think given the nature of that program, I'll talk about it for just a little bit so you have a better understanding of what we're doing here. But at the top of the page on page 2, it says that no later than July 27th and no later than July 31st on each, or July 31st, 2007, on each subsequent year after, the Chief Fiscal Officer of the Game and Fish Department shall prepare and certify a report of licenses sold or issued to the previous year, and that then is in statute. There was a handout that came out, and it gives you a bit of a picture, it's this handout right here, of what that recoupment program does. And there is a chart showing those recoupment of licenses from 2008 through 2013, and many of the organizations that seek those. The top of the list, and I guess not being able to use proper names in our discussion on the floor, I would say at the top of that list is a group in my hometown that takes out a considerable number of handicapped hunters. Beneath that, there is then a group of hunters that are chair-bound, as it says here, and they work then in Platte County and take, as it applied here, about 15 hunters out. So, anyway, going on in regard to complementary licenses, these may fall to the one-shot antelope hunt license or gunpowder buckskin hunting license or other gratuitous license. In current statute, line 13, going down on page 2, says, in addition, the commission may, and then right there is the language that struck. That's what this does. Upon receipt of payment of the antelope license, we struck that out, so then these licenses that they're asking for could be then recouped, fees of those could be recouped from the state auditor. There has traditionally been, up until a couple of years ago, 30 of these licenses available to these handicapped hunters.
That was then, I think just in the last year or so, we up to 50, those 50 licenses. So these folks that you see listed on the sheet that I showed you earlier are the ones that will be applying for those. This then brings us to the amendment at the bottom of the page. The individuals that brought this wanted, and at the bottom of the page, beginning in middle of line 19, 15 of those complimentary licenses shall be reserved for hunters who are either blind or wheelchair bound. The committee didn't feel that it was necessary to earmark those for that particular population of handicapped people, and so the committee then opted to have that language stricken. I would say that I think it's an appropriate amendment. I agree with that amendment, and at that time I would then, without barring any questions, call for the question on the amendment, saying that I do believe it's a friendly amendment.
Question on the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 140, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Back on the bill.
Okay, that brings us back to the bill, and I want to take just a minute in regard to the recruitment program. I had some difficulty in getting this through my mind, how this worked, and I know having been on appropriations, you track the money back, and I kept tracking it back to where it actually, where the source of this is. And so I had staff pull up the statute in regard to the recruitment. What the bill does then would allow Game and Fish for all these 50 licenses to recoup those monies for those licenses by these individuals. I would say at the bottom of the handout, it says at the bottom, maximum recoup increase requested through House Bill 140, 50 licenses times 272, about $13,600 that would be added to the auditor's budget in order to accommodate those requests for recoupment coming from Game and Fish. In regard to the statute, we've already read in regard to the date and time, but it says that as we go into 23-1504, clear down a little B, the chief fiscal officer of the Game and Fish Department will submit to the state auditor the report created under subsection A of this section with a payment request for the number of license for each type sold, the difference between the amount received by the department for licensing and the cost of full licensed adult corresponding with each type of license. So, upon receipt of the report and payment request, the state auditor shall transfer to the Game and Fish Fund amount claimed by payment request for funds appropriated. So it's all in statute. The ability to do this, what this does is add 50 licenses at the cost that I showed you at the bottom of the sheet. I think it's a worthy cause. I think this is a worthy group of individuals. The people who are asking for this for their organizations are entirely volunteer. And these folks that do this, make effort to find areas where they can hunt. They provide their own vehicles, their gas, and in many instances, food and lodging. And so I think it's a very, very worthy cause, and it's just, I think, something else that Wyoming can do to highlight its efforts in order to showcase its concern not only for the handicapped but also for its wildlife. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would leave this to the body.
Thank you, Senator Anderson.
Would encourage any members of the committee to speak if they wish.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, good Senator, I have some pretty good concerns with this bill as far as these are all non-resident licenses, and what we're really, the biggest part of them are, if you look at the chart, what we're really doing is paying for non-resident hunters to come in, and we pay for their licenses to come. And the cause is a great one. Fully agree with it. But as far as this body funding non-resident hunters to come in and hunt at our expense, does not make sense.
Senator Christensen?
Mr. Chairman, I, too, was a no in committee, and I just wanted to explain that. And the answer is, along with Senator Dockstetter, or excuse me, the good senator from Devil's Tower. I got the D's mixed up. But on the chart, when you look over on the last columns, it talks about residency. You can see we had two residents apply for it, and the rest of them were all non-resident. And that is a concern that we're doing. We'd be, with this bill, we'd be funding non-resident tags in a new way. One of the things we talked about in the committee hearing with the director of Game and Fish was creating an opportunity with their new paperless system to
invite, say, all non-resident applicants or successful applicants to participating, helping either fund or partially fund a non-resident handicapped hunter or hunter with a disability. And he was interested in looking at that. And so we may have answered the problem by giving other participants a way to share in what they enjoy.
Thank you. Any further questions for the floor manager? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. That amendment looks like it tries to eliminate fish, maybe, or something. It says to delete fish on that first line. I don't know why it's relating to game and fish. And it sounds to me like it might be they might have issued fishing licenses before, and now they won't. Just a question.
Further discussion? Further discussion?
Good answer.
Senator Anderson, would you like to respond?
Yeah, give me a minute to look at this.
Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 140, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. House Bill 140. Ooh. Chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. Chief Clerk will count. All those opposed, please stand. It was failed. The motion to adopt, having failed, we'll proceed with a roll call. Chief Clerk, proceed with the roll call.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel? Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Ross?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 22 noes.
House Bill 140, having failed.
Chairman.
Senator Anderson.
Having voted on the prevailing side of House Bill 140, I move for immediate reconsideration.
Chair agrees. Proceed, Senator Anderson. Would you like to speak further?
I'm sorry. Non-debatable.
Non-debatable. Okay, roll call.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Nope.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert? Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Ross?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 10 ayes, 20 noes.
House Bill 140, having failed a roll call vote pursuant to SR 65A, is deemed indefinitely postponed. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 173.
House Bill number 173, sponsored by Representative Throne. High School's Administration of a Disease that I Have Not Been Able to Pronounce, an act relating to schools. I tried and it don't work. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it, or a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with a recommendation that House Bill 173 do pass. There was a standing committee amendment I asked to be read in this time.
Read in the amendment.
House Bill 173, second reading, standing committee amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 2.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the standing committee amendment. Mr. Chairman, this is the bill on school administration of epinephrine, and the standing committee amendment was brought to us by proponents of the bill, and so I'm going to yield to Senator Kraft to explain both the standing committee amendment and the bill.
Senator Kraft, please proceed.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. I would like to address the amendment first. As the good chairman said, this is a friendly amendment. It's actually tightening language, clarifying exactly what we mean when we're talking about epinephrine auto-injectors. We included stock in a lot of places to make very clear that this is epinephrine that will be kept on hand by the school districts and not by individuals. There was some language that school nurses suggested that representative of the Board of Pharmacy suggested. So unless there are any questions, I would ask for your favorable consideration of the amendment.
On the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 173, please say aye. Those opposed, say no. The amendment is passed. Back on the bill.
Thank
Senator Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is one that would allow schools, school districts, public and non-public, the choice of whether or not they would choose to stock epinephrine, which is an auto-injector. It's a little pen that people that have bad allergies will carry with them frequently. Because the problem is when you are hit with a severe allergic reaction, such as one to nuts, or when you're stung by a bee or a wasp, you have about 3 minutes before you go into an anaphylactic shock reaction, which means you quit breathing. So we have found in researching this that there are millions of children in the United States, and they have these potentially life-threatening allergies. Anaphylactic shock actually causes approximately 1,500 deaths annually, and the most at risk are children and adolescents. National Association of Asthma Specialists said that roughly 8% of children under 18, that's about 6 million children, have at least one food allergy. And the problem is not if you know you have it. The problem is not if you know you have it, or you know if you get stung by a bee or a wasp, that's a problem. The problem is all those kids that don't know they have it. All those kids that come to school and knew they were allergic to peanuts but didn't know about almonds, or got stung on the playground by a bee. So this legislation would allow schools to stock these epinephrine auto-injectors for use in emergency situations, and then to develop plans to address those specific needs. And then this bill also requires that those districts make those plans very public on their websites or however else might be more appropriate, so that everyone is aware of this. It provides for plans. It provides for working with the Department of Health and the Department of Education to establish guidelines. It provides a Good Samaritan protection for those personnel who are administering epinephrine in emergency situations. And that's the key. This is particularly key in our rural areas. We heard all kinds of testimony from school nurses from throughout the state, a couple of them from rural schools who fessed up that they stock epinephrine now because it's such a danger and it's such a scary kind of thing. We heard from one individual who said she is in a rural school with an ambulance response time of 20 to 30 minutes. She's had stock EpiPens available for about the last 4 to 5 years. And in those times, in this small school, she's had 8 students that have potentially gone into anaphylactic shock. She's administered an epinephrine auto-injector, I can't say the trade name, to those students, and it's been life-saving. So this is something that would provide schools with the ability, if they so choose, to stock auto-injector epinephrines and hopefully prevent the tragedy of losing children. That's the bill in a nutshell. I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, was there a testimony with respect to whether or not the act, as it's moving through, has a conflicts with the Nursing Practitioners Act?
Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. That, we actually did hear testimony to that effect, simply that this is not construed as the practice of medicine as it states in the bill, and it's only going to be used with designated school personnel. So the school nurses throughout the state were in unanimous support. I see my good chairman looks like he's ready to pop up, so I'll let him complete that answer.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, that was not a big issue in the committee. There was overwhelming support from the nursing profession, and I think they understood that on occasion it would be necessary for people other than nurses to administer this. They do get a general prescription that enables the schools to administer. You don't have time for the niceties of the formalities if you really get one of these cases. And I don't expect any difficulties from the nursing board because they thoroughly understand that these are emergencies and you do what's sensible first. Mr. Chairman, I foresee no difficulties whatsoever with that.
Further discussion on the bill? Further discussion? Question on the bill? Senator Beal, sorry, didn't see him.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question, and I understand the need, and it sort of makes sense. What about the liability portion? Now you have some schools that may have nurses, and then you're going to have a dispensing unit where certain other people can grab it for the need and the emergency situation that exists. Then you have some schools that may not have any nurses. And so you're going to have, is there a provision, and I haven't read the bill, I'm on the liability section, that excludes the districts from having any potential liability on how they administer it?
Senator Landon, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question on top of that for the sponsors of the bill, and I, too, appreciate the reasoning behind the bill. Think I can support. I'm just curious if these auto-injectors, are we talking about one company, or are there several manufacturers of this kind of product? Thank you.
Senator Kraft, want to respond?
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. There are several manufacturers, which is why I can't say the standard name that is used. The pens are really fascinating. In the testimony on the other side, one school nurse actually brought one and showed the ease of administration. It actually, one of the brand new ones talks to you and talks you through the steps. She demonstrated on a particular member of the body across the hall, who was quite stunned and did not go into anaphylactic shock as a result of that. But in answer to immunity and liability issues, The bill is very clear about requirements for training. So it says that each school will keep a record of, number one, each incident. Number two, they will have a policy which will include a list of who the designated school personnel are. It has a requirement for school nurses and designated school personnel. So that could be every teacher in the building. That could be the lunchroom lady. That could be the secretary. To complete a training program, which is very, very simple because these auto injectors are very, very simple. And then on page 5 of the bill, that entire section D discusses immunity and the provisions that not only is this not identified as the practice of medicine, but it's an immunity from liability in addition to other liabilities that extend in this practice.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Chairman Scott.
Mr. Chairman, in addition, the testimony in the committee was that that liability section was a key part of the bill and that this may be what's preventing some of the districts from doing this already. So that's very important.
Further discussion? Senator Bebaum, Chairman
Bebaum. Mr. Chairman, and I understand on that liability, I realize that's in there. Ordinary negligence versus gross, was there any discussion about the levels there? And I just don't want to have someone administer this and then end up being sued for trying to save a person's life.
Senator Kraft?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to answer that question, the immunity section on page 5 is quite clear about what does not constitute liability. And there is a section that says this immunity does not apply to acts or omissions constituting gross, willful, or wanton negligence. Otherwise, the liability protections are in place, kind of what's called the Good Samaritan protections.
Further discussion? Question on the bill. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that to do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 173, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 173 has passed the Committee of the Whole. That clears the tables. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
The Committee of the Whole may leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carried. Mr. President. What do we have? Messages from the House.
February the 28th, 2014, from the House of Representatives. Message, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below pass the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 7, Brucellosis Surveillance. Ayes 52, excused 8. Senate File 13, Hathaway Scholarship Program Enrollment Expansion. Ayes 52, excused 8. Senate File 18, Counties Legal Publication. Ayes 52, excused 8. Senate File 19, Cities and Towns Legal Publications. Ayes 52, excused 8. Senate File 34, Involuntary Hospitalization Emergency Hearings. Ayes 52, excused 8. Senate File 42, Electrical Licensing Installation of Light Bulbs. Ayes 52, excused 8. Senate File 56, State Engineer Fees. Ayes 35, noes 17, excused 8. Senate File 84, Child Support Payments. Ayes 52, excused 8. Senate File 92, WCCC Director Ex Officio Memberships 2, ayes 51, noes 1, excused 8. Senate Joint Resolution 1, Regulation of Carbon Dioxide Emissions, ayes 50, noes 2, excused 8. Senate File 45, Game and Fish Department General Fund Budget Request, ayes 45, noes 11, excused 4. And Senate File 82, 2014 Large Project Funding, ayes 43, noes 15, excused 2. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing, Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor before the reports?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I just wanted to acknowledge that we've got the singing statesmen from the University of Wyoming up at the balcony. I'd like to welcome them and encourage everybody to go listen to them in the Hirschler Building at lunchtime. If we could welcome them, Mr. President.
Welcome to the Senate. Reports from Standing Committee.
February the 28th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 155, engrossed electronic citation fees, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 28th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 73, engrossed, Persons with Disabilities, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott. No, Senators Anderson, 28, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 28th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 128, Juvenile Court Sanctions, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer. Excuse, Senator Christensen, Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Folks, we finished up the committee of whole that are on the board today. I think we've got about three on general file and maybe four pushing through committees, so about seven for Monday. If that's the case, when we come back at 2, we'll just wrap up desk work, get bills reported in, and we'll cut everybody loose. If I've misjudged it and we find some there's more bills out there, we may put up one or two bills, but we won't put up very many. So during lunch, I'm trying to figure out balance our work between today and Monday, Monday being the last day for Committee of the Whole. So with that, I'm going to bring us back in around 2, but hopefully we'll have you out by 2:30, 2:45, and you can start your weekend. So with that, Mr. President, I move the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Announcements. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, the conference committee will be meeting in 2:04, a little afternoon. We've just got one final thing, the budget balancer, and then we're done with the bill.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I was asked to announce that the Arts Advocacy Alliance has a lunch for us in the West Atrium down by the Hirschler Building for those that would like to participate. Going on right now.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, your committee number 9 will meet in approximately 15 minutes to continue our hearing on the governor's appointments.
Senator Case.
Corporations will meet Monday morning at 8 a.m. to discuss interim topics. We'll be in S-19. We'll be meeting with our House counterparts. And your Select Committee on Legislative Technology and Process will meet Monday morning at 9 a.m., again in room S-19. Upon adjournment on Monday, your Select Committee on Tribal Relations will meet to discuss interim topics that will also be in Room S-19.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, will meet on Monday, March 3rd, in Room H-8, that's over on the dark side, to discuss interim topics with the people that live over there.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I've got two meetings to announce. On Monday, March 3rd, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet at 9 a.m. Down at the other end, Room H-10, to discuss interim topics. And then also at 12:15 Monday, we will be meeting in our usual room, S-14, to conduct interviews with some of the governor's nominees. Anybody wants a list? I've got them.
Any further? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 3 will meet Monday as well, Monday morning at 8 a.m. in Room H-11 to discuss interim topics, as well as Monday at 1, we will meet as a Senate Revenue Committee to have some confirmation hearings on two of the appointments from the governors. And that will be up in Room S-16.
Any other announcements? The Joint Conference Committee on Senate File 103 will meet upon adjournment in S-5, my office. With that, you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. The Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m.